I'm Pete Donaldson from the Football Ramble. This winter is going to be a festival of football as we fill our homes with friends, put on the footy and get cosy. There's never been a better time to upgrade your TV, and John Lewis have a range of LG TVs packed with the latest OLED technology, offering pixel-perfect details and brilliant colour fidelity, all with a 5-year guarantee. Dolby Vision IQ and Dolby Atmos offer total immersion, and an ultra-wide viewing angle means everyone in the room gets the same great picture. Feel like you're there with an LG OLED TV. Shop LG TVs at John Lewis, in-store, online, or via the app.
The world is our home. So make yourself comfortable wherever you are with Voco Hotels. Feel at home from the moment you arrive, leaving you to unwind your way. Not only do our attentive hosts look after you, but they also look out for the planet too. Like at Voco St David's Cardiff, where our guests can hire electric bikes to explore the Welsh capital in a fun and green way. Come on in. Search Voco Hotels today.
You're listening to Dropping the Gloves with former NHL All-Star John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
John Scott, the All-Star man. John Scott, the family man.
Thank you for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John
Welcome, everybody, to Dropping the Gloves, another episode. What's this, Tim, 482?
Not quite, but it's up there. We're getting close to 500.
Oh, man, I feel old. I feel just like an old hag in this business. Not as old as this guy we're going to talk to. This guy's been around the block. He's done everything. Almost the originator of YouTube reaction, YouTube recap videos. The guy was in it before it became a thing. And now he's the hit guy all over everywhere. Steve Glenn, also known as Stevie Dangle, is joining the podcast today. Thanks, Steve, for coming on, my friend.
Oh, thanks for having me on, bud. It's great to talk to you.
It is great to talk to you. So we were just talking before we came on, and Tim had a panic attack. Save it for the show. Save it for the show. It's gold. You're taking your 2.25, excuse me. Yep. I don't want to shortchange him or give him too much age. You're taking him for his first skating lessons tomorrow?
Tomorrow. So I got my own hockey tonight, and then I'm back on the ice tomorrow morning.
Wow. How many times are you on the ice a week?
Just two right now. But that's two more than it was before, like we were talking about.
Yeah, you're in Ajax.
Yeah.
You used to live in Scarborough, I want to say?
Yeah.
Where do you skate? Because there's a gazillion rinks there.
Yeah, I grew up in Wayne Simmons' neighborhood, so he played hockey, and we're the same age. So he grew up playing with a lot of people I know, and we have a lot of like mutual acquaintances and friends. I play at Iroquois in Whitby. It's this huge facility, and that's where we every year we've been doing the Eric Lindros Celebrity Hockey Classic. This is the first year where it won't be there. It's going to be at Scotiabank Pond in Toronto this year.
So is that your thing? You go around and tell people Wayne Simmons and I are from the same town and we're pretty close?
I usually just say we're the same guy. That's usually all I do. No, it's funny because it's amazing the stories people want to tell when someone becomes famous or successful. Because, like, you know, he makes it to the league and a buddy of mine's like, he broke my collarbone in grade 7. You know? Stuff like that. And I go, what? How do you do that? Oh, we were playing tackle soccer. I'm like, why? What? What kind of stupid ass? What kind of? Anyway, you told me no swearing and I off the bat.
Oh, you're good. You're good. That kind of stuff, you let slide.
Okay. All right. Cool. So, anyway. Yeah.
Tackle soccer. Get that a lot though, because you're the Leafs guy. Everybody knows you. Who is into hockey knows you. Do you know the Leafs now personally? Do you get time to be around them, or do you interview them in the locker room? What's your connection to any of those guys?
Yeah, so like I've sort of flirted with that over the years. Like I tried to be like a Marlies beat guy for a while, and you know, got to know the team, you know, decently. I would say there's a few Leafs I'm like friendly with. Like Morgan Riley's been there for 10 years now, and we've interviewed each other enough times that, you know, there's an acknowledgement, right? And Matthews is getting into that territory too. But in terms of like being like actual pals with these guys, I mean, I feel like it would cross a certain line. You know what I mean? Like it would make it more difficult to talk about them honestly. There's only one player I've ever like gone out with while they were actively in the NHL. He was your teammate for a little bit. It was Ben Scrivens when he got traded to the Habs.
Yeah.
It was right before that outdoor game in Boston in Foxborough. And I guess he just didn't really know anyone. And I get this text on my phone. It's Ben Scrivens. He's like, "Want to go to dinner?" I'm like, "Yes." So that was pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. I was just thinking that too, because you're probably, other than Morgan Riley, you're the longest tenured Leafs because you're young. Like you go around the locker room, you share the same interests as these guys. Like you're starting a family. I'm sure some of them are maybe starting a family. They watch your stuff. They know how you're reacting. Is it tough? Because I'm kind of in the media side of it now, but not as intimate as you are with the Leafs. Like everybody knows you. Is it hard to one night be like, "Gosh, they sucked," and then walk in the room or be around these guys and they know they just watched you react to how bad they were? Is there any like, "Come on, Steve, what are you doing? You're killing me"?
Well, I have every now and then gotten a glance. I did have a run-in with someone that I'm like literally not allowed to talk about, but it wasn't with the player themselves. It was with their representation. But I try not to cross a line, you know, and that helps me sleep at night. You know what I mean? I don't worry about those encounters because I do my best to be fair. If I carve a guy and like I'm not above doing that. There needs to be a reason behind it, and it can't cross a certain line. It's got to be about their performance on the ice. And, you know, I can't just say, you know, "This guy didn't back check on this play, so he's human garbage." You know, that. So listen, you're going to make players mad, and you're going to make their families mad and their friends mad. And you just got to wear it, because if you start worrying about everyone's feelings, I think you're going to start making some bland stuff no one wants to watch or listen to.
So you must not listen to my show, because I, on a consistent basis, call people garbage. Stone from Vegas, I ran into him at a party when I was still playing in Ottawa. I think it was his first or second year, and I just didn't like him. He came in, his hair was all over the place. I'm like, "You jerk." And I just, to this day, I call him garbage all the time. So it's just personal vendetta. I don't know why. He just rubbed me the wrong way. I like the way he plays, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, you're 6'8". True. So like, you don't have to worry about those encounters. I'm like 5'10", so I do.
You are?
Yeah.
You're a skill guy. And I chirp. I will say this. I hated the Leafs growing up. I was a Bruins guy, and relentlessly chirped them every single year. Last year and this year, I have been more favorable to Toronto. I want them to succeed. I have been the biggest critic of Marner and Matthews and Nylander and even the defensemen. I feel like I'm going soft on them just because I want them to succeed. I think it's good for hockey that they succeed, but they're just so incredibly bad that it's hard to wrap my head around how I can sell it that they're going to win, because they're not. We'll get to that in a little bit.
It's tough for me too, John.
I wanted to touch on it a little later. Are you as diehard as you seem on your shows? Because you're literally living and dying. Is it tough to get that jacked up for game 5 when you know you're going to have hopefully round 2 on the brink in 5 or 6 months?
Apparently not.
It's insane, you know, how jacked up you get.
Yeah, you know, I remember when we were first coming up with the idea for my podcast, I was like, okay, I have enough material for 3 episodes, I think. And we're closing in on 1,000, I'm pretty sure. And we've been at it since May 2013. Bruins Penguins were going at it in the East final when Iginla chose the wrong team in that little battle. You know, like it context matters, and I love storytelling. And this past week, there's been a huge story to tell. You know, Arizona, you're supposed to beat them at home, man. You're supposed to beat them at home. And if you lose to them, because it's a good league, and even the worst team is going to win like 20 games, you know, it should be tight. It should be competitive, for goodness sakes. And the Leafs didn't look like they tried. And all of a sudden, yesterday's game against Dallas, which was game 5, carries all this weight. And, you know, sometimes the bad accentuates the good, because it's an overtime winner in game 5 against Dallas. That's not an event that sticks out on the Leafs calendar, but that game and that win meant so much because of the way game 4 went. So would it be better for my heart and mental health if I chilled? Yeah, probably, but we're all here for a short time, so go Leafs go.
What's the temperature like in the city? Are people getting a little anxious about this team, or is it a little reactive just because it's only about a week in, or what's the vibe in Toronto?
No, they're not a little anxious. They're all the way coming undone and vibrating. It's like a civil war between the fans right now. And at the end of the day, they all want the same thing. They want them to win. And, you know, people have theories on the team and what it's going to take for them to win. And, you know, all they need is a guy like Marchand, for example. You'll hear some guys say, like, Marchand grows on trees. You know what I mean? It's there's a pretty huge gap between having Marchand and not. You can't tell me what the Leafs have been through since, the Matthews era began is normal. They're clearly a good regular season team every year. They've only been getting better in that regard year over year, and every year ends the exact same way, losing in the last possible game of the first round. That's wild. And you can't tell me, like, I don't know what X's and O's fixes that. I don't know if adding skill to the lineup fixes that, adding another defenseman, adding a little grit, getting a better goalie. Sometimes the world just hates you. And I think Leaf fans are waiting for the magic to turn their way, because, man, if they ever did the thing, gotta be special.
Yeah, it's like kind of what we see. We talked a lot on this show. You see it around the league. There's two, I'm oversimplifying, but there's two main camps. People that say, like, you can't keep bringing the same group back again and expecting different results. They just don't have it. And other people are saying, well, you know, they're getting seasoning. They're getting more opportunity. Eventually, you know, the straw is going to break, and they're going to break through and win a couple of playoff rounds. Which direction do you kind of skew?
Oh, man. It's with the Leafs, you have to ignore the evidence of your eyes and ears. And that makes it so much more difficult, because there are some nights where they look. Listen, they hung with Tampa last year. They hung with the best team in the league. If you go over the last 3 years, obviously they lost to Colorado in the Cup final. But then, you know, game 4 against Arizona, you lose some of that goodwill. Like, I think generally the fan base handled the loss to Tampa pretty well. And all of a sudden, game 4 against Arizona, it's a catastrophe. Sometimes I think it's gotten a little stale, but you're not trading Matthews. I don't think anyone's going to give you anything for Tavares. And also, he's playing really well this season. You just locked up Morgan Rielly to an extension. So it always, the conversation comes back to Marner or Willie, and I cannot fathom a situation where the Leafs trade either of those guys and win the deal. But can you lose a deal and become a better team? No. The Islanders lost Tavares. We're all talking about them, you know, being in the basement of the league, and then they They make it to the playoffs. They win a round, and then they're arguably the second best team behind Tampa for a couple years there. So if I had the answers, the Leafs would have hired me a long time ago, and they haven't yet. So I'll stick to yelling on
you. This is their crew. It's a pretty good group. I don't think you're trading any of them. The issue is, A, the playoff structuring really screwed them because they get to either face Boston or Tampa every single year, and they're not better than those teams. And I don't know. When I look at it, it's like they're not as good as Boston or Tampa the last 5, 6, 7 years. And that's fine. Let's focus on this year. What's the issues this year, Steve? We're looking to the future. Are we planning the parade? Is there a possibility with this team right now, these 23 guys?
I wouldn't plan the parade. Listen, there, even though the Heat's been turned up, there's a lot of reasons to feel good. Matthews always looks like the best player on the ice, and he's got one goal in 5 games. So even though he's not scoring, he still looks like the best player on the ice. So like I can't believe how much of a superstar he's turned into. You know what I mean? He does the things that I watch, you know, in other teams, and I just wish the Leafs had a guy like that. Like all the years I've spent watching Sidney Crosby, and I'm not comparing the two, but every year he brought a new tool in his tool belt to the team, and Matthews seems to do that. Ilya Samsonov was a total flyer in net. He's playing well. Tavares seems to be good. Willie's playing well. TJ Brody, who took a bit of a dip last year, is a stud back there. And
stud?
Well, okay, maybe not stud. Steve. He's very solid. He's very solid. How about that? He's greater than adequate, I would say. And Nick Robertson, I think, is going to it'll be interesting to see what he's able to do, because that second line left wing spot has been such a problem for the Leafs.
Mm-hmm.
And if he clicks, it adds versatility to that top six group, because all of a sudden, if it's not working on either of the top two lines, you can swap Robertson and Bunting. You could just swap Matthews and Tavares and have them change wingers, essentially. There's all sorts of things you can do, but you need six guys in your top six, and for too long they've only had five. I wonder if Nick Robertson getting going is something that can help Mitch Marner get going, because Matthews hasn't been scoring and he's still been effective. Marner, not so much. He seems rattled. He's not in his happy place right now.
So you're on record then today on Dropping the Gloves, October 21st. The reason Toronto hasn't won is because they haven't had that sixth forward. That's been the issue for the last 5 years.
No, the issue for the last 5 years, I don't think you can be a Leafs fan and an atheist, because there's definitely some sort of omnipotent being that hates their guts. Like, dude, that is satanic black magic. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know why. Like, consistently, their worst game of the series has been the last one. They almost got shut out against Columbus. They lost 5-1 to the Bruins in 2019 in a series where they were consistently better than them. And Montreal, at very least, they had comebacks in game 5 and 6 that they blew. Game 7 wasn't even close. It wasn't even close. So I would love to give you an answer. All they need to do is this differently. I think the answer is right between the ears.
I'm hungry. Tim's hungry. And when we're hungry, we use DoorDash. So you should too. Get out your phone, your tablet, your app, fire up the computer. I don't care how you want to use it. Use DoorDash. Use our promo code GlovesDD if you're in Canada. If you're in the USA, use GlovesDDUS. Get 25% off free delivery. Get yourself some food, some drink, whatever you want. DoorDash will get it to you. They'll get it to you the quickest way possible. Gosh, I bet you they have DoorDash planes, DoorDash boats. They do everything and anything. They're the best company in the business for food delivery. So check them out. Use DoorDash. Use our promo code GlovesDDUS if you're from the US of A. GlovesDD Canada if you're just GlovesDD if you're in Canada. That's all. Get yourself a deal. Get yourself some food. It's a fantastic company. Tim uses them on the daily. The guy loves it. He's a fat slob. So use them. DoorDash. Check it out.
Time is ticking. Glory awaits. The referee lifts his whistle and... Bring the stadium experience into your living room. With a 55 or 65-inch Sony Bravia XR4K OLED TV from John Lewis. Sony OLED TVs deliver vibrant colors and super smooth motion. With a 5-year guarantee on all TVs, shop today at John Lewis. In-store, online, or via the app.
How's it going? It's Jake Humphrey here from the High Performance Podcast. I'm currently partnering with Dell Technologies and Microsoft as part of their 2022 Small Business Podference. So Dell offers dedicated technology and solutions to help people grow their business. And we love talking about businesses and entrepreneurship and startups on High Performance. And you can check out my podcast episode with Ben Towers right now. It's amazing. So let Dell Technologies help safeguard your business with modern devices and Windows 11 Pro so you can do more and we can all go forward together. Search Dell Podference or visit dell.co.uk/podference to find out more.
All right, one more for Toronto. We'll move on to some other NHL stuff. I get tired. It's all-encompassing Toronto. They just suck the energy in every hockey program. And we get our listeners like, move on from Toronto.
Oh, I didn't know that sentence was going to continue.
But there's so much to talk about with them all the time. There's so much drama. Marner pointing at the crowd. Keith and Matthews going back and forth. Matt Murray gets injured. It's so much stuff going on. I want to talk about the main issue this offseason. Everybody's already talked about it. You've talked about it. Goaltender. I have my own issues and ideas of what Toronto can do. I made a prediction that they're going to be junk the first month and a half of the season. They're going to go out and trade for Alex Nedeljkovic, maybe find a suitable goaltender who is cheaper, who is better than the two guys they got. Are either of these two guys that they have right now, Matt Murray, Ilya Samsonov, going to be there at the end of the season?
Well, Matt Murray, I'm really worried about. I'm willing to let last year slide. It's less about the quality of his play and more about it really sucks to get hurt in the first game of the season. Like, we saw that happen to Mrazek last year, and I don't know if he has it or doesn't have it, but he never had a chance to have it here. He got hurt in his first game, missed a month, came back, got hurt in his second game. You're done. So he's got to get it back. Ilya Samsonov, he's only 25. Leafs have 3 wins. He has all of them. He's only allowed 2 goals in each of them. I have a decent enough amount of faith in this guy. So I think he could be there at the end of the season. Will he be the answer by the end of the season? Can you win a Stanley Cup with him? That's a much different question, because a lot of the suggestions I've heard for how to help the Leafs in net, they don't exactly scream Andre Vasilevsky to me. But then again, Darcy Kemper won the cup last year as a starting goalie, and people wouldn't put him in a superstar conversation, right? He's a good goalie, but you wouldn't put him in that conversation.
You need somebody to save the puck that they're supposed to save. That's not Samsonov. Samsonov, you're saying he's a young goalie, hot star. He reminds me of an Eric Karlgren. Wish you guys had a guy like that who was just young and won his first couple games. That would be really fun. Yeah.
Samsonov's younger.
He's younger.
He is by 1 year.
Oh my gosh. I don't know. Dubas has to go. He really botched this offseason in my eyes. Because they have a Stanley Cup team. That's the frustrating thing. And I look at this, and I picked them last year to go to the Cup, didn't I, Tim? I was like, I think they're going to go to the Cup Finals.
Yep.
They didn't break my heart, because it's funner to talk about them when they lose. But it's stupid. This is my hypothesis before we came on the air. I love Craig Anderson. I think he's fantastic. I've loved him forever. I played against him for my whole 9-year career. I told Tim, I said, if he's on the Leafs for the last 5-6 years, they have at least 1 ring, maybe 2. I think he's so good. Why not get this guy? Making like under $1 million, 41 years old, have something to prove. It would be such a great signing.
He's got that playoff magic too. Where
big time.
Yeah, every now and then he'll just be like, I'm stopping 50 shots tonight. And then he does it. Like he's got that magic to him. And there's another guy like you probably wouldn't have ever put in the superstar category of goalies. He had a few years where he was in that conversation maybe, but could just rattle them off. And
he's a killer.
Wouldn't allow a bad one, and he would give you a chance to win every game.
Which is the key to being a goaltender? Letting in a soft one. Matt Murray, great goalie, lets in beach balls all the time. There's nothing more frustrating as a player or a defenseman when a guy's shooting and you take the lane, you give him the shot, and all of a sudden he raises his hands, and you're like, come on, you save it.
I never even thought of that from the defenseman's perspective.
Oh, the forward just facials it.
You just
it's the worst feeling in the world because you play the pass, everything's good, and he just throws it on net from the top of the circle, and he's just like celebrating in your face. Like, son of a happened with Marty Turco a lot. Marty was a great goalie. He let in so many bad goals. So many bad goals where it's like, Turks, what are we doing here? He's like, ah man, sorry. I'm like, was I in your lane? Nah, I just missed it. I'm like, dash one, Turks. Now I'm done for the game. Killed me. Absolutely killed me.
And there's a name I would have never picked.
Turks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never would have thought that about him.
We were talking about goalies going to the Hall of Fame, and I'm like, Craig Anderson could have a Hall of Fame worthy career. He's played for 20 years. He's 41 years old. His numbers stack up against all the Hall of Fame goaltenders, Brodeur, Waugh, Curtis Joseph, Eddie Belfour, all the recent ones. And no one talks about him because he's had some good playoff success with Ottawa. But other than that, nothing worthwhile.
The difference is the cups and the personal awards. But yeah, like the save percentage. Yeah. Save percentage, goals against is a very elite numbers for the, over the course of his career.
Well, and like you're now making me realize I'm like, oh, he's not a superstar goalie. He just does all the things that superstar goalies do. Yeah. Like, that's not fair.
He's played a ton of games. He's a good goalie. Anything else on Toronto, Tim, you want to touch on before we move on?
No, I'm sure the listeners are sick of it.
Me too. It's so tiring. All right. Canucks, answer the question. We interviewed JT Miller this summer. Mm-hmm. He's like, we're going to have a different season. It's going to be different. Then he signed his extension literally the week after. What's wrong, Steve, with Vancouver? Why do they do the things they do?
We had a bit of a conversation about this on the podcast today. And like, listen, I don't know if you can get away with this, you know, on hockey night in Canada. You should maybe talk about X's and O's and things they're doing wrong. But I think the vibes are off, man. Last year, they went into this tailspin and they weren't able to get out of it. You bring in Bruce Boudreau. The vibes are immaculate. Everyone's having a good time. And I was laughing at like the stories coming out about Boudreau with the Canucks because he meets Brock Besser and he's just like, you have a good shot. You should shoot.
What a genius.
Make me an NHL coach. Like, that's oh yeah, give me $1 million right now. You have a good shot. You should shoot. That's great. But I think this is a team that gets really high and low on themselves. And, you know, you blow a lead in your first game, that's going to mess with your head. You do it in a second game, and now it's become this thing where not only have they not won a game, but they've blown a lead in all five of them and a multi-goal in the first four. I didn't realize how bad it was until I realized their record is 0-4-1. And the year the Leafs finished second last in 2010, when they didn't even have their own first because they gave it to Boston, they started 0-7-1.
Wow.
The Canucks are only three games away from that. It's really – three games isn't a long time. It's not a long time in an 82-game season. I mean, yes and no, I guess, but I don't know what they do to get it back on track.
In their defense, they're only $2 million over the cap. So they have that to work with. They have a lot of salary cap space. They're going to be good. Oh, I'm kidding. They're in hot garbage when it comes to the salary cap situation. They're going to lose Bo Horvat. You're looking at me like I had four heads, Steve. You're like, where is this dummy going with this? Here's a question.
Yes.
I don't like Pettersson. I think he's a selfish player. I think he is a terrible leader. Vancouver hitched their cart to him. I think it was a complete mistake. Before he signed his contract, he said, I'm not going to sign unless I know we're in a winner. He made all these comments. I'm like, this guy's not a leader. He's not going to have any success in the NHL. He's proving me right. Does he have any parallels with Willie Nylander? Is there a comparable there? Because Willie does have a touch of that. He's had obviously his contract issues with Toronto. Who would you take, Nylander or Elias Pettersson?
I mean, I actually really like Willie, but I would take Pettersson. I mean,
you would.
Yeah, he's fifth overall. He's got the high end talent. He's probably a better goal scorer. He's a full time center, which is something that the Leafs I think wanted out of Willie, but it never really worked out up the middle. And also the difference is like Willie has never had the responsibility of Elias Pettersson. Like that, he's supposed to carry that team's offense. Basically, yeah. Like, even though JT Miller just signed that big deal, he had the big season. We all know the future is Pettersson. So if anything is going to go positively or negatively with Canucks, it's got to go through him, at least when it comes to their offense. Nylander doesn't have that responsibility. He's the fourth highest paid forward. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's the fifth highest paid Leaf, I believe. So it's just not the same responsibility.
I agree. I'm taking Nylander. I don't know. I like Willie more. I just have a personal, much like calling people garbage, I don't like Pettersson. Tim loves him. Tim's a huge Vancouver guy. He loves Pettersson. He's got a man crush on both Hughes brothers. And I don't understand it. I think they're soft. And they'll never win. Ever. Right, Tim?
Well, it's not looking good for him so far. Yeah, and like I think it's a good point. Like he is supposed to be the guy, and he's just not doing it. And, well, that's not true. He's producing a lot. I think he leads the team in points. He's got more than a point per game to start the year. So you can't really point to him and say, hey, we need you to do more. It's the, no, it's the defense. It's the goaltending. I mean, I get he's probably not the guy that you want to – he's not going to say, hey, fellas, follow me and lead his team and will him across the finish line like some of the other leaders around the league. But he's a talented player, and he's doing his job right now. He's putting the puck in the net.
The Jets have struggled with some really talented forwards in their leadership group who cannot play in their own end. And I think the Canucks have a bit of that going on because JT Miller can rack up the points, but, man, he's shocking. He's shocking in his own end, man.
Like shocking in a good way. He's just so energetic.
No. If he was, I tell you what, if he was, they'd win some games. But, I mean, and he knows it too, which is both a good thing and a bad thing. At least he understands the problem. Like he was, I think, I want to say like -8 or whatever through the first
four. Yeah, he was on games for the first 8 goals against Vancouver to start the season or something.
Yeah.
So he identifies that very obvious problem, and then he's not able to do anything about it. That's a problem.
Yeah, but he's identified the issue.
Oh, good. Well, that's half the battle.
Well, here's another question. Okay, I say they're soft. If a coach like John Tortorella goes to Vancouver, does that fix everything? Or if a coach like Tortorella goes to Toronto, does that fix everything? Because Babcock, I don't really know what his hypothesis, his coaching philosophy was. I think he loved being on the front page more than anything. He was more me, less than the team. Keefe seems like a player friendly coach where he's not pushing anybody. He's not getting any screaming matches like you saw McKinnon and their coach, whatever his name is, before they won the cup.
Bednar.
But yeah, whatever. Would Torts make a difference in Toronto?
It's an interesting question because like he obviously rides the players really hard, but they love him and he doesn't cross a line. They, I think, might need someone to push those buttons. Vancouver, on the other hand, like the Leafs have shown signs that it's there.
Yeah.
Whereas the Canucks outside of the bubble, which was kind of this unique beast where they got crazy goaltending, I don't know if the evidence is there. Like, what if they're just not that good? I think most people had them maybe making the playoffs, like 50-50 chance. You get it? Like, I don't think most people thought they were gonna lose their first 5 games. I don't think they're a bad team, but I do think they're kind of middle of the road. And I think what they need more than anything probably is better personnel. Up front, I think they're okay. That back end is that's a world of hurt. Yeah, it's a world of hurt back there.
And they're paying them a lot of money. A lot of money. Speaking of torts, what do you think of the Flyers? Is it going to last?
So I don't think it's going to last, but I absolutely love the Flyers start because I've done nothing but rip them for 2 years. Chuck Fletcher as a GM, I think, is brutal. I don't know if you ever – oh, you might have had him in Minnesota,
right?
He signed
me.
Oh, no. Well, that's how I know he's bad.
No, he – what happened was I signed and then Doug Risebrouwer left. So I was Doug Risebrouwer's last signing with Minnesota before he got fired. And then Chuck Fletcher came in and basically said, you're gone at the end of the season. So I know Chuck a little bit.
That's hilarious. That's – oh, yeah. So you must love him.
So why don't you like him? What has he done to you?
It's well, okay. So I didn't like that he was the guy in charge of Minnesota when they signed Suter and Parise. They signed those big deals. So at the time, I was trying to establish my career, and then the lockout happened, and you know, so it made me grumpy that I was still living with my parents and had no prospects of moving out because I couldn't get a job because there wasn't any hockey, and it was probably unfair to Chuck, but those two contracts, $196 million total, I believe.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, like those, to me, as someone who was really screwed by that lockout, I'm, you know, not even the most screwed person on this call right now, but it was a monument to why we got here. You know what I mean? Like to. It was just – it was GMs being idiots. Like, I never looked at it as players being greedy or they're paid too much. It's, no, it's GMs not being able to freaking help themselves. And then they go out and they sign $196 million for two guys. And they're like, oh, and we don't have any money. Like, how do you sleep at night? Anyway, sorry. So that was 10 years ago.
And still hold that grudge.
I still hold that grudge, but like all he was in Minnesota and all he's been so far in Philadelphia is a guy who knows how to convince ownership to spend money on the worst things possible. And like he always spend to the cap, never be anything above mediocre. And the Flyers haven't had anything go their way for like a long time. But when they signed John Tortorella, there was something about that where I was like, every now and then there's a match made in heaven. And that dude is Philadelphia. I know he's from Boston, but that is there any coach in the world that matches that city's vibe more than John Tortorella? They're going to play his style. They're going to play honest. They're going to play hard. And they're probably going to beat the shit out of you. Oh, sorry. They're probably going to beat you up. And make it not a very good time for you to play in Philadelphia, which is the bare minimum that they need. I love
and then they dress McEwen and Delorier on their fourth line. It's I love it too. I played for Torts in New York, and I remember they have Glenn Sather as their GM. When I came in, and this will show you how much Torts really cares about his GM. I come in, I get traded at the deadline. I show up, I have a meeting with Slats. He's like, we got to have the biggest guy in the league on our team. We want him. That's you. So that's why we brought you in. Like, fantastic deadline pickup. You guys are in first place in the East. This is good. Go to meet Torch. He's like, what the hell are you doing here? I'm like, you didn't know I was getting traded to you? He's like, I had no idea. I guess go get some gear. Torch says, no, he doesn't care about anything hockey related, like other than the stuff that's going on the ice. He could care less about Chuck Fletcher unless it affects his team on the ice, and he'll go and have a word with them and he'll cuss them out and he'll say, I'm going to play my damn players. He was benching Gabrick. He was benching all the high-end guys. He didn't give two craps about anything. Paychecks up. He's a good fit there. I like it a lot. Torch is going to do well. But will they be in play at the end of the season?
I just have a hard time believing they're going to be able to stick it out in the Metro. It's such a good division, and they're just not good. They're just not good, man. Like they have some good players, some guys who they could trade off. They have some guys they could build around, but I'm sorry. I don't look at that. I don't look at the Flyers as anything. I think best case scenario, they're the second worst team in the Metro.
Really?
Yeah, okay. Man, they're not good.
I know they're not good. All right, well, let's conversely, they had a hot start. Teams who have had cold starts, who has a more apt way to be successful? Minnesota, Tampa Bay, who's going to come out of this funk? Because Tampa struggled. Minnesota has struggled mightily. Fleury's been terrible. He said to himself, who's going to battle back and be there at the end of the year?
I think Tampa's a pretty good bet. Have you guys ever heard of them? Yeah.
They were good last year.
Well, and also the Lightning are sick and twisted. That entire roster is sick and twisted. They look at adversity as their favorite thing. Like it's not something they have to overcome. They love it. You know, star player gets injured. Sweet. That more ice time for me. Let's hang an eight spot on these guys. They just figure it out. And I don't think it would shock anybody if the Lightning lost their first 20 games on purpose just to see if they could do it. And they probably could.
Here's a question. If you're Dubas, if you could trade Matthews, you have to trade Matthews.
I have to. I'm being blackmailed to. And I have to.
Gun to your head.
Yeah, okay.
Kill your family.
Wow. Okay.
Who are you trading him? Any team in the league, who are you trading him to? And who are you trading for? One player.
One player?
Yeah. Not McDavid.
I mean, I'd like him.
No, anybody but him. He's the obvious answer. Anybody but McDavid.
No. Oh, it's got to be Colorado. And it's either McKinnon to replace the number one center you're forcing me to trade, or Cale Makar. Cale Makar is probably the much better answer because he is a mutant in this league. No one is as good at his position as him.
I know Jake Gardner. I feel like Cale Makar modeled his game after Jake Gardner a little bit. I'm a big Jake Gardner fan.
I bet you were. You played against him all those years.
Is there any chatter of him getting the jersey raised in Toronto?
Yeah, he's going to be right after Dion Phaneuf and Ryan O'Byrne. They're going to get it as a pair. They're going to get it as number a pair three. there was a beer league hockey thing amongst guys on like Leafs Twitter a few years ago that they called the Koska Cup. And I think they should raise the Mike Koska banner before anybody else.
That's funny. All right, one more for me, then Tim has a couple. Does Jack Campbell sucking so early just make you feel good?
So, no, because Jack Campbell is a golden retriever of a man. He is a wonderful human being, and I cheer for him. However, Oilers fans were awful mouthy, awful mouthy, and I don't want to see him suffer, but the silver lining is they have to listen. There's a few things you should get in Alberta. You should get the steak, and you should also get the humble pie.
That's funny.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, last question. Yeah, open-ended, but like about 2 weeks into the season, what are some of the biggest surprises so far? Maybe some of the major storylines that have really caught your eye that you're excited or keeping an eye on?
Really like all the young guys in this league. I'm excited for Seattle to be relevant because even though, like, listen, they were bad last year. Lots of teams are bad. But the biggest crime they committed is they weren't even interesting. So this year, you know, Matty Beniers, will Shane Wright stay or go? That's exciting. I am completely captivated by what's going on in Montreal right now. Like, you talk about a team riding vibes alone. Listen, Nick Suzuki, Cole Caulfield, Juraj Slafkovský, all these reasons to be excited about the future. And somehow the guy in Montreal generating the most headlines is Arbor Jacki, what his rise in Montreal reminds me of is, and John, you might remember this. Do you remember when Milan Lucic first hit the league?
I knew you were going to say him. Yes, I do.
Because he wasn't even that like highly touted. Like, I think he was a second round pick and, oh, he's got this flaw in his game, that flaw in his game. But he came in and dared anybody to challenge him, and he whooped everybody who stepped to him, and then he scored 30 goals to boot. So I mean, Jack Eye is obviously on defense, so it's a little different, but Slavkovsky screaming those words that I can't say straight at Josh Brown after scoring his first NHL goal. You can't tell me that team's not riding so incredibly high right now. And it's because of Arbor Jack Eye. I absolutely love it. I absolutely love it. Not when the Leafs play them, but
except when the Leafs play them. All right. Anything else, Tim?
No, this is fun.
All right. A couple more for me. Who's getting Connor Bedard?
You like or dislike the Coyotes?
Oh, hate them.
You hate them? Okay.
Well, hate's a strong word. I despise them.
Okay. so not them. You know what? Here's the flavor. Here's the flavor.
Okay.
Leaf Nation rides into the playoffs this year. Hopefully they make the playoffs. And it's actually surprisingly calm. Everyone's cool. We're going to win or we're going to lose. Surprisingly calm. Then the draft lottery happens. Montreal wins. And all of a sudden, the Leafs window is 1 year. You have this year. And if you don't win this year, you're screwed. Because if the Habs get Bedard, the Leafs should be asking Gary if they can move back to the West like it was in the 90s. Because
that's interesting.
That would be brutal.
Because that's another question to you. You're obviously, you know, is it hard for you to sit back and go, okay, our window, and you see it getting cold. It's like smaller and smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
Detroit, mm-hmm. Buffalo, Ottawa, mm-hmm. all these teams, you can just see them nipping at your heels and they're competitive and they're looking good. Buffalo looks really good this year. Is it tough when you see these teams getting better and better and better and you guys go get Samson off Matt Murray and the team's getting worse and worse and worse? Is it tough to know that your window maybe never happened?
He's right. Yeah. It's not closing. It never happened. It was always four walls. I think the Atlantic has been really competitive for a long time and Tampa did okay. Boston did okay. Pittsburgh's done okay in a really competitive Metro. You know, it's, you know, better than anyone in this call. It's a good league, mm-hmm. you know? So I do watch Buffalo beat up a team like the Flames and go, uh-oh.
Yeah,
but
right.
At the end of the day, you got to beat good teams to win. So, oh, well, the other team got a good player. Try to figure out how to beat them.
That's true. All right. Speaking of good players, last one. I just love getting – you're fun to talk to. I took a lot of heat for just insinuating Patrick Kane might go to Calgary. Where does Patty Kane go? He's going to get traded. Chicago is a train wreck driving straight into a dumpster fire. Where does he go?
That's a – oh, man. It's a really good one. There are
Rangers.
Certain teams – ooh. I think – okay, so I'll pick an East one and a West one. The Rangers, like the Flash. And holy cow, can you imagine him with that offense?
That'd be pretty
– that
fun.
Offense is pretty ridiculous. Yeah. I think it could be a mistake for the Rangers because if I'm the Blackhawks, I'm going to be asking for – at least a few of their young pieces. And yeah. I think their young pieces are what's going to make them impossible to beat for years to come. The other one is Colorado. I mean, you really got to go for it for the back-to-back. You head into like kind of a different contract territory when Nathan MacKinnon becomes the highest paid player in the league next year. So East New York, I like that. That's fun. That's sexy. And for the West, I'll go Colorado.
Wow. Real groundbreaking stuff, Steve.
Yeah? Okay. Philly and Seattle.
Oh, my gosh. That'd be great. I'm teasing. Well, he's going to go to a cup contender. We talked about this last week. There's really only six teams that can win the cup this year. Edmonton.
And five of them are Toronto.
Toronto's not with the
no, I
Toronto.
Know. I know.
They need a goaltender. And now Muzzin's done for the year, apparently. Dr. Marner said he's done for the year. So they need some help on the back end. They need a guy who can keep up with their forwards. That's their main – I find that to be an issue, too. The first few games, it looks like the forwards go one, two, three, then the defense get there. Mm-hmm. You got to have, you know, five-man unit. That's how you generate offense in today's game. That's why Colorado was so successful. That's why Tampa's so successful. You move as a five-man unit. It's not three, then four. It's not three, and then two. Giordano's not jumping in the rush anymore. Morgan Riley,
how
sometimes.
Dare you? How dare you? Saying.
Gio's older than I am. He's old.
Is he?
Gotta be.
He's 38.
Is he 40 yet?
He's the oldest skater in the NHL. Craig Anderson is older, but he's a goalie.
I don't know obviously. If you know this. I made the All-Star game in 2016.
I've never heard of it.
It was kind of small. The NHL All-Star game doesn't get a lot of hype. Gio was on my team.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, you're older than Gio.
How old is he? Was he 83, 84?
So you're in 82. You can't just look me up on HockeyDB. No. Giordano. Oh, no, he's 39. He's in 83.
Okay, so he's getting up there.
Okay. Nah, he's amazing. Norris repeat. Here we go.
He's very good. He's been a great signing. But they got to get something else. You need something else on the back end. Well, I don't want to get into Toronto.
It would definitely be helpful.
Whipping again.
Let the record show. You're the one who keeps bringing up the Leafs.
They're so interesting. It's them and Edmonton.
Right? I love talking about the Oilers, too. Yeah, they're real interesting.
And I was born in Edmonton, and I trash-talked them more than anything. Oh, they drive me nuts. Drive me absolutely. Peter Chiarelli, Ken Holland. Can we get a new GM, like a new prototype? It drives me crazy. Pick someone different.
So I agree. There's 32 jobs and 40 guys that just rotate it.
Yeah.
But you were a Bruins guy growing up. What are you now that you're retired?
You know, nothing. That's the sad thing about A, doing a hockey podcast, and B, playing in the league and having it just – I'm jaded now where I just don't like the Anyone? Business of hockey, really, and I don't like most of the GMs. So I have personal – like I want Joe Pavelski to win the Cup. I would love Pavs to win okay. in Dallas. So I'm rooting for certain guys, but – and then I don't like other guys. So some teams will make the – like I wanted – I'm a friend with Ryan McDonough. I'm like, go Tampa Bay. I love Mac. So
– okay.
I know. But one team – I really – San Jose, I really
– The currently worst team in the league? Okay.
I know.
Or no, second worst now.
Vancouver is worse than them.
That's right.
Points, I guess. Vancouver's played one less game, and they have two
They've
points.
They've got two overtime losses, yeah.
Oh, never mind.
Well, you were wrong, Steve. I fact-checked you.
Oh, no.
Four Pinocchio noses. You were wrong.
But I said it into a microphone. That's it must true. Be true.
It must be true. All right. Anything else, Tim?
No. No, thanks for coming on. We'll have to do it
I'm
again.
I'm sure
this
you got
fun.
A lot to do tonight, Steve. Is there a Leafs game tonight?
No Leafs game tonight, but I get to go play hockey really badly at 10. So
if anybody's listening, go to the Iroquois Hockey Facility Center and check out Steve.
Tomato. Just throw tomatoes at me. There's okay. So I had your HockeyDB thing up, and I just want to bring this up because I have to before I let you go. You had five career goals.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the one you scored in Toronto?
Oh, yeah. Steve Bernier.
Do you remember? I assume you've seen the photo of you celebrating, and it's right in front of a Leaf fan who's on the glass looking really sad.
I remember me celebrating. I don't remember the fan's face.
Okay. I got to find the photo for you because I remember you scored and I was really upset because I was cheering for the Leafs. And then I was watching on TV and I'm like, that's my cousin. I was like, hey, you were just on TV. You looked really sad. And he was just like, oh, great. And
that was a great. I picked Joffrey Lupo's pocket. Puck gets to the neutral zone. I don't know what Bernier's doing. Matt Ellis just flips it in. He blockers it out. I'm in perfect position as usual. Top shelf.
Oh, you mean Jonathan Bernier?
What did I call him?
Steve Bernier.
Who's Steve Bernier?
He played for like the Devils.
Forward. Yeah.
Yeah. Forward.
I'm usually really good with names too. That's very strange.
No, but Jonathan, but that makes a lot more sense. Okay. So really, you got four. NHL goals, because Bernier is good now, but holy smokes, he was something else when he was with the Leaf.
If
and one of them's open net too.
If you had
Bernier, God, yeah.
If you had Bernier the last 5 years, you'd have four cups. I said it.
Whoa. You know what? Last something about the water here made him bad. I don't know. Because he's gone everywhere else and been perfectly fine.
That's a whole other show where I talk about this a lot, how people don't want to play in Canada because it's just atrocious. The fans, the media, the environment, the personal life, everything about playing in Canada sucks. And it's just... As a player, I've talked to guys numerous times where it's like, no one wants to go there. That's why you have to overpay unless you go home and then you're John Tavares and you're a special situation. But it's people like you, Steve, who ruin it.
I'm sorry. I ruined it all. It's my fault. It's my fault.
Your fault. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining the show. This was great. You're a pro.
Thanks. Good pro.
Thanks. Good pro. All right. Well, listen, have fun skating.
Appreciate you
tonight.
Having me.
No, we loved it. Tim, anything else for the third time?
Thanks for coming on, man. Good luck tonight.
All right, everybody. Yeah. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week. Cheers. Oh, Tim, I was on fire. My BetUS came through last Wednesday or this Wednesday. I won. Unbeknownst to me and unbeknownst to you, I changed my bet at the last minute. The line changed. It went from 6.5 to 6 for the over-under. I chose the over. I nailed all three games. I parlayed them. I won a huge return. I am up for the season on BetUS. Our contest is looking very good in my favor, Tim. It's time for you to have some little redemption. What are we doing tonight? Friday, October 21st. Tim's going to start his comeback special. What are we doing, Tim, on BetUS?
Yeah, what I'm learning is that with the parlays are killers because they'll get like 3 out of 4, then you lose the whole thing and going for those big wins. So individual bets this time to kind of get back in the green here. So three games tonight, not a ton.
Back in the green?
Yeah.
Back in the black, I thought.
I don't know. Green is positive. Red is negative in my spreadsheets. And so, yeah. So individual bets, I'm not parlaying. I got $10 on Tampa. They are evenly fared, I think, with Florida. It's in Florida, but not like it's a long commute or anything. And I think Tampa's overdue. Only one win for the season. That's not going to last very long. Second one, Chicago Blackhawks picking the underdogs. They're playing Detroit. Again, another one just overdue, just a gut pick here. And then the Avalanche is playing Seattle, and that sounds like a gimme. Put a little more money in that one. And so those are my three picks for the night.
And just straight up.
All straight up. Yep.
I did the same thing. I, on the other hand, love my parlays. I almost nailed the first week, the first parlay bet, but the Leafs just sewered me. I would have won big money on that one, like $1,500. I won my parlay on Wednesday, got me back in the black. Nailed all three of the overs, but I'm not going to go parlay. It's stressful. It's very stressful when everything has to hit all the time. I'm a nervous wreck. So I just went straight up games, and I picked a favorite in every game. I know the Lightning and the Panthers are an even bet, but the Panthers are the better team. They're 3-1. They're playing better. They're at home. The Lightning have been struggling. I took the Panthers straight up. I took the Red Wings over the Blackhawks. I don't know how you pick the Hawks. Red Wings are looking great. Elmer Söderblom, modern day John Scott. And then, of course, the Avalanche and the Kraken. Kraken are showing signs. The Avalanche are the Avalanche. Defending Stanley Cup champions. I took the Avalanche. And then for a little fun, just a side bet, a prop bet, I took the over on total goals scored tonight. The number was 20. I think it'll be over. Do the average. That's what? Each game has to get 7 goals. Totally doable. I took the over. I'm going to cash in again. It's going to be fantastic. I'm going to be in a good mood on Monday. So check it out, everybody. Go to BetUS. Have some fun like Tim and I are having. And I hope everybody has a good weekend. We will check you later. That was stupid, but yeah. We'll see you later.
Bye.
Cheers.
You're listening to Dropping the Gloves with former NHL All-Star John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
John Scott, the All-Star.
Silence descends. 89 minutes gone. This kick is everything. Bring the stadium experience into your living room and immerse yourself in the action with a 55-inch LG OLED TV from John Lewis. LG's OLED technology with ultra-wide viewing angle means everyone can enjoy the best seat in the house. With a 5-year guarantee on all TVs, shop today at John Lewis. In-store, online, or via the app.
£1 million. Is this a wind-up? This has to be a wind-up.
Apart from the birth of my children, this is the best phone call I've ever received in my life.
This is what it sounds like when people win big with the National Lottery. Will you be next? The National Lottery. Your numbers make amazing happen. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.